This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, port in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Curry, 3-quarter court, lets it fly. It's good! He hit it! One dribble, one shot. Curry from 3-quarter court knocks it down. And if there's anything that might give you some life and some momentum heading into the locker room, it was that.
Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Yes, you are listening to Willard and Dibbs, but Mark Willard out today celebrating his daughter's Sweet 16. He'll be back on Monday, so it's Dan Dibley, Mark Randy with you here on 95.7 The Game. And that man you just heard calling Steph Curry's 3-quarter court shot and welcoming us back, none other than the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy, and he joins us now on the River Islands guest line. Tim, first of all, thanks so much for taking some time out of your off day in Philadelphia. That was something special by Steph and the Warriors last night, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, it one of the things I kept, you know, reminding myself and hoping to remind the audience was that, you know, we can't take this for granted. It's something special. It's once-in-a-lifetime stuff. And, you know, for him to do it at that age is just remarkable. And it just shows you how much work he puts into it and how, you know, dedicated he is to being, you know, the best shooter in the game, one of the best players in the game. It was quite remarkable. And, you know, the last 7 games has been really a team effort, and Jimmy Butler was really good. But Jimmy, you know, looked a little, maybe a step slow last night. And, you know, Steph put the team on his back, and as he's done all these years, and, you know, and once again, here we go. We're watching another unbelievable moment, and you just got to savor every second of it.
Yeah, and I'm trying to stay in that same mind frame, and I just want to tip the cap to you, Tim, because with each successive three, and Grandy put together a montage that we've been playing throughout the course of the day, and with each successive three, you're getting more excited, more animated, and the Curry, the just the growl in your voice. And, you know, it's hard because you're actually doing it and going through it, but I just wanted to tip the cap because you captured the increasing excitement with each and every basket.
Well, I appreciate that. It's easy for him, you know.
Nope, I think we got a connection issue with Tim Roy's cell phone.
Did we lose you?
I think we did. I think we did lose Tim. We'll get back with him in just a second. But
yeah.
I am curious, and I want to ask him, Dibs, just about like his personal rankings of Steph Curry moments. I guess there's a different conversation between moments and
right. Like
individual moments, like one single shot or like a single game. Like those are different things.
I was thinking the same thing, like, you know, are 50-point games like your children where you love them all equally? He's got 14 of them. Is there one that would stand out for him as, you know, more meaningful or more powerful? Obviously, yesterday is, you know, fresh in his mind and 12 threes and a 65-foot heave that goes and all the rest of it. So, you know, that'll be fun to get his thoughts on that.
Yeah, but then you have like the more like stories of individual games where you have, like, I don't know if you remember this, Dibs, but the double bang in OKC, obviously, yep, we all remember that game, but, or we all remember that moment, but that game was absolutely insane. It was the game where Steph rolled his ankle, I think, in the first half, and he missed the final few minutes of the half. I forget exactly when he rolled his ankle, but he rolled his ankle, and it looked pretty gnarly. He missed a chunk, came back, and played great. That was also the game where at halftime, if you remember, it was a national TV game. It was on ESPN, and it was Lisa Salters was doing the sidelines. And that was the game where at halftime, Steve Kerr and Draymond Green had a gigantic blow-up in the locker room.
That's right.
You remember?
Yeah.
And it was Lisa Salters, you know, talking to Mike Breen. And I think it was, I don't know if it was Mark Jackson and Stan Van Gundy, probably, or Jeff Van Gundy probably was, who were on the call at that one. And they go to Lisa, and Lisa's like, yeah, Mike. I mean, there was a Draymond and Steve, they got into it at halftime, and it wasn't just like, you know, disagreement. It was like loud screaming, and there were expletives and all of that. And then the Warriors come back against Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and that era of Thunder team, which you remember in the playoffs that year, pushed the Warriors to 7 games, and the Warriors were down 3-1. Like, that's not an easy team to beat, especially in that arena. And you come back, you force overtime, and Steph hits that shot. So you have the individual moment, the shot, but you have the story of that entire game, which has to be, I mean, it might be the best regular season game, not only in Warriors history, but maybe in NBA history. It was amazing.
That could be hyperbole, but coming off of yesterday, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, because, you know, the things we've seen Steph do, and, you know, we could all talk about favorite moments for the remainder of our career on the radio.
Yeah, I think we got Tim Roy back here on the River Islands guest line. Tim, can you hear us?
I got you. That was weird.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. But you were in the middle of talking about how Steph makes it easy for you. What were you saying?
Well, it just makes it easy in the sense where, you know, you always have to be on your guard. My statistician at halftime looked at me and said, I looked down. I didn't see the shot. I said, you can't look down when he has it, because he's always going to take that end of quarter shot. He doesn't care about his percentage. He doesn't care. You know, you see all these guys and they get the ball and they double pump and, they don't get the shot off because they don't want to take the miss. But Steph doesn't care about that. All he cares about is getting a shot up, hoping it goes in and can help them win. And last night that shot did that. It's just so much fun to watch, and, you know, so lucky to get a chance to do it.
Voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy, with us here on 95.7 The Game. Tim, I was kind of going through my own memory. You, of course, I mean, there's few better than you than when it comes to Steph memories and best Steph moments. For you personally, all of the great moments in games that you have called, obviously there's so many playoff ones, and those maybe take precedent over anything else. But this one feels like it had to be up there, because this team is building something special, it feels like, right now. And the Warriors needed every single one of those 56 points last night. Where does this one rank anywhere high on your personal list of Steph games that you have had the pleasure of calling?
Yeah, it will. And I think it has a chance to really be that. But I think if it leads to what they want, you know, if it leads to getting in the playoffs and going deep in the playoffs and getting a run, you know, it's a great regular season moment. But again, the one thing this dynastic run has taught me is it's not all about the numbers or the points or whatever. It's about winning. And so sometimes we get caught up in all the analytics and the numbers. It's really about winning. And to me, like, I think his best moment ever was Game 4 in Boston in 22. They're down 2-1 against a talented team on their court. It's a raucous court. And he just put it right there. That one, as well as the Game 7 in Sacramento, because there are two games the Warriors had to have. You know, one was elimination or move on. And, you know, you're on the road and he scores 50 in a Game 7. And then you take the Boston game where he just, you know, just put the team on his back and refused to go back home 3-1. To me, those are the two games that stick out for me. But yeah, I think this game, really can be the game that we look back on in a month or two and say that was the game. You know, Jimmy Butler was moving a little slow that night. They did, you know, were sluggish in the first half after flying for 6 hours the day before, and you know, Steph Curry put the team on his back and they refused to lose and they continued to climb up in the Western standings.
It was incredible just to watch it, especially unfold in the third quarter. Was there a moment last night when it kind of clicked in that Steph Curry maybe was going to be authoring something really special?
It's when he shot the three and it hit the top of the backboard. when a shooter sees that and the ball bounces around and it goes in like that, you know, then I think he thought, oh, okay, it's one of those nights where I'm going to get those bounces, right? And so he started hunting shots immediately after that. And that to me was a sign like, okay, here we go. And he just, you know, went off and blasted it. And, you know what, they're five games above 500 for the first time since the end of November. And they're, as the kids like to say, they're trending in the right direction.
They definitely are. 7-1 in the Jimmy Butler era. For those of us who weren't in Orlando last night, Tim, if we were watching on TV or listening to you here on 95.7 The Game, it kind of sounded at times like a home game. The Orlando crowd, I know there were a lot of Warrior fans there, but also you get in those modes, and even if you are a fan of the Magic and you're watching Steph do his historic thing that he tends to do, he kind of wins over everybody. But what was the environment like inside of that arena in Orlando last night?
I knew there were a lot of Warrior fans there, but I was surprised in the third quarter just how many people responded. And I think what we're getting on the road now is not only Warrior fans or, you know, little kids who are really Magic fans, but they love Steph Curry. So they come out to watch and hope that he, you know, does something like he did last night. And I think once he got going, you know, the Warrior fans got louder. The Orlando fans got a little quiet because their team's been scuffling and they've been banged up all year. And so, you know, they were coming off a 40-point loss to Cleveland in that building. So the first half, you know, the Orlando fans thought, okay, all right, we're going to get it back now. And then, you know, in that third quarter, and don't forget, give Quinton Post some credit. His points right off the bat in the third kind of got the Warriors going. And it was a great move by the coaching staff and Steve Kerr to have him start, give Orlando a different look out there, and Quinton took advantage of that.
Can you quantify just what Jimmy Butler has meant to the team in terms of, you know, not necessarily the points and rebounds and the rest of it, but the intangibles, Tim? Because Mark and I were having this discussion, and Quinton Post, to me, is, pun intended, a poster child of somebody who's benefiting from having a guy like Jimmy Butler around.
Yeah, I think he has, and I think Pajemski has, and I think Moses Moody has, because Jimmy knows how to play. He knows what angles are. He knows, you know, what he knows that he makes a certain action, a cut, a pass. He knows that where the second move is going to be. And so that allows him to set these guys up in certain situations and give them the kind of room and space that they can be successful with. And so, yeah, I mean, the numbers are fantastic. I mean, they're top five offense, defense since he arrived. You know, their points off turnovers is off the charts. I don't know if you know this, but in the 8 games, they're averaging 29 points off turnovers per game.
Wow.
And the next closest is Oklahoma City at 23. I mean, that's an astounding number. It was 30 going into last night, but...
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And to me, it's just his intelligence. He's a smart basketball player. And that is what this team kind of needed. It needed a high IQ guy who knows how to protect the ball and give you a good valued possession. And rotation down, everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, Tim. No, I think you're right. And you're talking about one of the areas in which Jimmy Butler has helped this team. We've been talking a little bit today about all of the areas and trying to figure out exactly where his impact has been felt the most, because you're talking about points off of turnovers. He's had a major impact there. He's also helped the Warriors in terms of getting to the free throw line and making a higher percentage of their free throws. He's making it easier for Moody and for Pajemski and for Quentin Post. There's also this abstract of where he's just taking the load off of Steph, and maybe he's allowing Steph to have the energy necessary to do what he did last night. Steph hasn't played the last two fourth quarters before last night's game, and a big part of that is because Jimmy Butler helped them build big leads. So if I were to ask you, where has Jimmy Butler's impact been felt the most, how would you answer that?
Wow. Again, I would just say raising the IQ of the team, it just making it a smarter, less chaotic squad. I think the Warriors at times were their own worst enemy in the first half of the season, and I think he's kind of keeping that, you know, problem from arising too much, and it's allowing the Warriors to be a much more efficient team. I just really think it's his IQ has brought, you know, dividends both offensively and defensively. It allows Steph to go, you know, crazy last night, and you know, and once he got hot, Jimmy knew what to do. He was setting screens, he was making passes, and all the rest to get Steph open. You know, and if Steph doesn't have the kind of night, to be quite honest, then maybe the highlight of the broadcast was Dan Dibley telling me about Flubber. So,
yeah, I'm glad you got that, and I was listening because it's always, you know, text the announcer at Warriors Vox.
There you go.
You were shouting out Blue Sky as well, and Tim was talking about in honor of Gene Hackman, and tip of the cap to R.C. Davis for a fantastic opening, which was from the movie Hoosiers, and so Tim was asking about best basketball movies ever, and I tweeted at him, Flubber.
Because you made an appearance as a basketball player in Flubber?
Correct. I actually scored the only points in the first half for our team. They didn't show it. We were down 57-3 at the half, Tim, and then we got flubberized, and we came from 54 down to get the W.
You had the only points of the first half.
Yeah, it was not featured. It was a three. It was a corner three. It was not above the break, as you would say. But it's just a gimme corner three.
I'm shocked that when the casting director for Hoosiers, he didn't call you, you know, get you back on the floor.
Well, honestly, I resemble Ollie, for those of you who've seen the film, who is the scrawny towel boy who had to come up big, Grandy, as you remember.
Of course.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't even know if you've seen the movie.
Of course I've seen Hoosiers.
Yeah, and just before we get back to the Warriors, Tim, I will point out that that's the single most awkward love scene in movie history between the late Gene Hackman and Barbara Hershey.
I may have to go hunting and try to find a more awkward one, but that's it's a pretty good call. I kind of like that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, anyway.
Tim, we got a 5-game road trip right now, the Warriors do. They're 1-0. A lot of us on the outside trying to maybe aim for 4-1. What do you think is a realistic goal for this Warrior team on this road trip? Because you're in Philly now. There's no Embiid. That's a team that is really, really struggling. They've lost 9 games in a row.
Yep.
You got Charlotte, a team that they just dominated at home, although you never know what happens on the road. Then you got the two teams in New York, and the Knicks and the Nets. What do you think is the target on this 5-game road trip?
I think that, you know, you get greedy at this point. You know, you got the first one down. I think you can beat Philadelphia. I think you can beat Brooklyn and Charlotte. So I think you look for 4-1 or better. I think it's time to get greedy. You know, we're going into March now. You know, it's not October or November anymore, and I think it's time to look at that. And I think they can do that. They're playing at a level where they can do that. And I know Jimmy is questionable for tomorrow with a back sprain. It kind of makes sense. He didn't look right last night. So, you know, but even with that, I still think they're good enough to win, you know, more than 3 games on this trip. And I think at this point you just go get it because it's right there. You're climbing the ladder. You got teams, you know, not only looking up at you now who are looking down at you throughout the season, now you got teams looking over their shoulder at you. So I think you got to keep that momentum rolling.
And the last time that they won 7 in a row was 2022, and we know how that season ended. So go ahead and win 7 in a row and keep on pushing. Tim, I want to ask you about Jonathan Kuminga and, you know, not only how you think he's going to fit when he returns, but What are you seeing from him early on in this trip, and how much he's probably champing at the bit to get back?
Yeah, I'm sure he is, and you know, I haven't talked to him about it, but he's busy. He's working out with the young coaches every day, and some of the other players to get his scrimmaging in. There was an optional workout today. I'm sure he was it there and working out. I chose my veteran option not to go, but hey, yeah, like the service here, boys, like the service. But I think he's excited about it, and I think he really wants to play because, you know, he's looking at this team having the success. He's looking at playing with another guy like Jimmy Butler, and I think it's going to be great for him. I think this whole scenario is set up perfectly for him to come in. People are worried about the spacing, but I think Jimmy Butler is a smart enough player to figure this out, and I think that, you know, having Kuminga, especially with the success of their starting lineup right now, and now you can come off the bench, say, with Kuminga, Hield, Payton, you know, that's a really good, pretty good rotation to start. And I think it's going to make the Warriors, you know, even better.
Tim Roy with us here on 95.7 The Game on Willard and Dibbs. It's Dibbs and Grandy with you. Hey, Tim, watching this game last night and listening to you and Steph making 12 threes and 56 points and 7-1 with Jimmy, I'm having a hard time not feeling like something special is developing here. And you got your fingers on the pulse better of this team better than anybody else. And there feels like an extra more verve with Steph and the enthusiasm and the passion with which this team is playing right now. Do you feel that? Do you feel like something special could be building here?
I do. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of Boston in 21-22. Remember, they were 500 right in the middle of the year and took off in the second half of the season. And I think the Warriors kind of with the trade, I think it kind of solidified the rotation. You brought in the guy that you need to bring in, a high IQ guy, not just a guy who can score, but a guy who can help you all over the floor. And I think it's, you know, Podziemski came off his injury, and you know, all of a sudden, you know, he's a little anxious at the start of the season. That's all gone now. He's right in the flow and playing the way we think he can play. Moses Moody having the best stretch of his career. So, yeah, I think there is something special here. There's a whole different vibe around this team since the trade. And it's there's a belief among this team right now that wasn't there in the first half of the year. And, you know, they're first half of the season, if they were playing that game last night, they would have lost that game. They would have not won that game. But there's a belief now on this team, and they're confident in making plays coming down the stretch. And I think that it's showing with the type of games they're winning.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Tim, great stuff. We appreciate you taking out some time, and we'll be listening tomorrow in Philly.
Okay, Dibs, I expect a signed copy of Flubber at my house when I come off this trip. So.
Yeah, I've got a stack of VHS tapes at home, Tim. I'll shoot one over to you.
It's like my friend Bill Schoening, who's the Spurs announcer. He's a musician, and he has some CDs that he has cut and sold and things like that. And he says that he has a million seller. He says he has a million down in the cellar. So there you go.
That's good. Tip your waitress. He'll be here all night.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks,
Safe
Tim.
Safe travels, Tim.
See you guys.
All right. That's the great Tim Roy, voice of the Warriors, here with us on 95.7 The Game. Willard and Dibbs, Dibbs and Grandy. Tim's the best.
Yeah.
And it's hard to not have a little bit of jealousy knowing these moments that he's been behind the mic for, Dibs.
Yeah, it's been a long run, though. You can have jealousy, but you also have to have
respect for how good he is, too.
And the appropriate amount of empathy for what he went through, and Bob Fitzgerald as well, and all those years when, you know, as a broadcaster, you know this, you can't really keep it real. When your team is 17-65, you can't just come out and say, oh, God, this thing is this and that, and it's a dumpster fire and all the rest of it. You can't be super pom-pom guy. You got to toe the line. But when you have year after year of misery, yeah, you could be jealous now, but you also have to appreciate what he went through for all those years.
Those guys deserve it. They deserve this decade of dominance,
man,
considering what they put up
that's
with.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Decade of dominance. And, you know, even if this year doesn't end in dominance or a title, you got last night. You got 56 from the chef, a 68-footer getting longer every time I mention it. 12 threes. I mean, no matter what, he got that last night to enjoy.
Yeah, and I think the first thing that Tim Roy told us is very, very true, and I think we both feel the same way. You just got to bask in this when you have it, and you don't know how many more of those you're going to get from Steph. So that was special last night. There's no doubt about it. We can talk more about that. Where does this Steph moment rank in your personal rankings? It's pretty high up there for me, and it's kind of incredible because he has so many of them. You can let us know, 888-957-9570+. Is this season beginning to feel special to you? Yes or no, and why? You can let us know as well, and also you can weigh in on our other question that we've been asking and discussing today. Where has Jimmy Butler's impact been felt the most? I think there's one more area we haven't really touched on just yet that we can get to when we come back. It's Willard and Dibs, Dibs and Grandy with you here on 95.7 The Game. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. More when we return next on 95.7 The Game.